Get ready, everybody. Here comes episode number 215.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips on where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast. And as we tell you every week, we want you to know no matter what kind of an RV, you're welcome here because whether you have a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting an RV someday, this is for you. On this podcast, we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So welcome, and we are very honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, it is that time of year again. Cold weather and temperatures near freezing remind us that winter is fast approaching. And those in the northern states and the Canadian provinces soon need to winterize their RVs. So we tell you in this episode everything that you need to do to protect your RV's plumbing system. And Jennifer has a great tip about mouse-proofing your RV, too, so you can keep the rodents out while it sits in storage. Plus, we've got lots of listener questions, traveling technology tips, and a great off-the-beaten-path report from the Burkitts, all coming up in this episode 215 of the RV Podcast. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, here we are. This is it's getting cold out there.
It's okay.
You think?
Yep.
All right.
I don't mind cold. You're the one who doesn't like cold.
Well, I like it for a while. I think it can be kind of fun, you know, but I don't know. I just think of all the places that we haven't been able to go to yet this year that I would like to go to. So that's and, you know, when it's cold, it gets a little bit more of a challenge.
Oh, it always makes me so sad when we winterize the RV. That is always like, oh, dear.
Well, we are at our Michigan Sticks and Bricks house, and we are RV-less still.
Well, they're working on it.
Yeah, we're told we've got a new one that's a couple of weeks out. It's getting assembled and being made as we speak. It's kind of a bummer because we're going to, I think, have to cancel a big gathering we had planned to do with a whole bunch of you down at Walt Disney World and Fort Wilderness. But we had some friends who offered to let us use their RV, but, you know, it's kind of hard without all your stuff in it, right?
Right.
So
we could take our tent, except the zipper broke on our tent and we threw it away the last time we went tenting. We could really go back to the good old days.
Yeah, that is the good old days of tenting. Well, here we are just a week before Halloween, and if the calendar isn't enough of a reminder, the cool outdoor temperatures are making it pretty obvious that change is in the air. At the dog park with Bo every morning, we are wearing our winter jackets and our hats, even our gloves this morning. So as we said in the intro, it's time to winterize your RV if you haven't already done that. If it's exposed to the elements in cold climates, you got to do this. Put in the pink stuff, which is that pink RV antifreeze. Though I must say that the best winterizing tip I have heard was from a snowbird buddy in Minnesota who told me that the way he winterizes is he takes his RV to Florida every year about this time and he doesn't return until April.
Speaking of snowbirds, this is the time of the first wave in the annual snowbird migration from the north to Florida and the southwest. I've seen figures estimating the number of snowbird RVers as high as 3 million.
Whoa!
Their migration really has two stages. The first always begins around Halloween, and the second big one comes right after Christmas because a lot of RVers like to stay home with family before heading south for the warm weather. Snowbirders leaving in the next week or so can probably avoid winterizing. Those waiting until Christmas should not leave their RVs unprotected without antifreeze until then, or they risk damaging their plumbing system. That shouldn't need to be stated, but there are always some who like to take that chance.
Yeah, we'll talk in our interview of the week section and with a friend who is going to give you some advice of when you need to RV. I mean, so it's okay if it gets a little cold. If you're living in it and you're keeping it warm and everything, you're probably okay for a while. But it's getting close to that time. As we said, we're a week before Halloween as this episode is being released. And in the camping world, Halloween is one heck of a major event. It is true, I think, for most big RV parks and even many state parks that they are booked solid every weekend all during the month of October. The parks have regular trick-or-treat nights and costume parades, and RVers are encouraged to decorate their rigs, and boy, do they ever. We love to visit RV parks this time of year. In fact, we're going to be doing so this week, and we'll be taking lots of photos, and we will share the photos of what we see this coming Sunday night on the RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. That's during our regular Ask Us Anything live broadcast that we do every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time. That live show is on, and we thought it would be fun to start off the show by sharing those photos and any that you send us. And if you are out there at an RV park right now or are out there this weekend, make sure you do it before Sunday afternoon. If you decorated for Halloween, send me a photo, and we'll include it in our live broadcast. You can send it to Jennifer, too. Just send it to both of us at Mike and Jen at rvlifestyle.com. Mike and Jen at rvlifestyle.com. I'd love to get your pictures, and we'll share them with our big YouTube audience. That's pretty fun. But this is fun. It's really fun to go to a park this time.
We enjoy doing that live show on the RV Lifestyle channel each week. It's the next best thing to being around a campfire with good friends. I am really amazed at what an online community we have developed around those Ask Us Anything broadcasts. People can make comments and type in questions in real time, and we can have them displayed and the questions on the screen and answer them. It's a highlight of our week.
You know, it's funny. You said the other night, we're going to have people getting married because, you know, we see the comments and we can then highlight them and put them on the screen. And it's so funny because they have conversations among themselves. They have questions they ask us. They react to what we've been talking about. And it's really fun. People are getting to meet each other and they're sharing addresses. So if you've never stopped over there, just go to rvlifestylechannel.com and you'll find us, and subscribe while you're there if you do that for us. All right, this part of the program is brought to you by AllStays Pro, which we think is the best tool for RVers looking for places to camp or for RVers looking for information along their route that relate to the RV experience. People are always asking Jennifer and me how we find such great spots to camp. They see our pictures or watch our videos, and the answer is AllStays Pro. Now, if you've ever used the AllStays app on your smartphone, you know what a great resource that is for RVers looking for places to stay. But AllStays Pro takes that to a whole new level. It is browser-based, meaning you access it through your computer, your tablet, your laptop. And thus, you have full-sized maps and much more detail than on a smartphone. Also, AllStays Pro is updated constantly. Now, I don't know if you know this about apps, but they can't be updated as much as the developers would like to because it's on the schedule of either Google or Apple or whatever app store that they're in. So apps are only updated normally just a couple times a year. AllStays Pro has so many more resources. It is updated daily. It has more campgrounds, more boondocking spots, more important RV info like where you can boondock, what Walmarts allow overnights, the nearest RV dealers, finding the closest RV dump spots, and much more. So to use AllStays Pro, you got to get a subscription. Now, the subscription costs about $20.95 a year, but because you are listening to this podcast, AllStays Pro will give you a nice 10% discount. You have to go to roadtrekking.com/AllStays10. roadtrekking.com/AllStays10. Allstays 10, all one word, the end. Roadtrekking.com, Allstays 10. You'll get a 10% discount on your membership for the year, and you will be hooked up, and you'll know where to go to find great places to camp.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Well, Canada became the second country in the world to legalize recreational marijuana use last week. And according to a Parks Canada spokesperson, it is okay to use the drug at campsites. You know what the other country is, by the way, that is
Uruguay.
Legal? Yes, Uruguay. Isn't that amazing? Who'd thought?
That's because I was looking at your show notes.
Oh. You can't cheat like that. Yep, Uruguay. Uruguay is the only other country where it is legal. I thought it'd be somewhere in Europe. But anyway, marijuana will be permitted at campsites because the campsites are considered temporary private homes. Cannabis will not be permitted in the public areas like playgrounds or washrooms, parking lots, historic sites, and so on. We found a whole bunch of information about that in Parks Canada and where you can, where you can't, and we'll put links to them in the show notes. And when you hear us talk about links in the show notes, it's real simple. You just need to know the episode that you're listening to. Like, this is episode 215. So you go to roadtrekking.com and then you put the //215. So roadtrekking.com/215. That takes you to the show notes, which is kind of a transcript or detailed outline of everything we talk about here in the podcast.
Hurricane Michael, the strongest storm on record to hit the Florida panhandle, devastated the state parks in the area. Sand dunes are flattened, roads have vanished, beaches moved, trails gone, and more, according to a story out last week. The result is that 14 state parks in the area will be closed for the foreseeable future. We'll put a link to them on the show notes page at roadtrekking.com/215.
Did you hear about the really breathtaking picture of a man proposing to a woman at Taft Point in Yosemite National Park? It's a really dramatic picture. It was taken earlier this month, and the photographer who took it is now trying to find that couple. And he's taken his search to Twitter. You can see the picture. You can learn more about it. But for those of you who like Yosemite and photography, it's a pretty cool picture, and you can see it in the show notes. So just check there. But really cool picture. He just wants to know who that couple is.
A Montana man stumbled upon a mad mama grizzly bear who saw him as a threat to her cubs just outside Yellowstone National Park. He told his tale to a Montana newspaper, and it is something to read. The man was an experienced outdoorsman, and to make a long story short, the bear spray likely saved him, though in the heat of the attack, he also sprayed himself with it. We have written before about bear spray, but it's worth mentioning again. Get some if you're anywhere in bear country. Each person in your group should have some spray. We'll put links to an interview we did for our podcast with a bear spray expert, as well as the news story of this attack, on the show notes page at roadtrekking.com/215.
Just saw a story in Yellowstone in October, and what a great time it is to go visit. But snow, lots of snow up, you know, particularly as you go up Mount Washburn, I think it is there, and Mount Washburn. And over by the Grand Canyon, Yellowstone, there's some snow on the ground there. A lot of the campgrounds have closed. Old Faithful was open, and of course, Mammoth Hot Springs is open year round.
You know, we've always wanted to go in the winter. I've never considered going in fall. Now I want to go in fall.
You know, I would be willing, since we don't have an RV, if I could talk you into it, maybe we should do a GoFundMe page. And I would fly us out there next week and rent an RV and go visit the park.
Let's
start a GoFundMe page.
Poor baby Bo, he's going to get left again. But
I would really like to do that. Well, let's I'm going to talk to you about that. Not the GoFront page. I'm just kidding you all about that.
Well, that is an interesting thought, but I think it's very expensive
yeah,
to fly.
Yeah, that's why we would need a GoFundMe.
I mean, it seemed like I checked that out in the past, thinking that would make a great family vacation.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking just the two of us. If we don't have an RV. We've never been in a Class C, so I think that's what you rent, is a Class C. I suppose we could do that for Florida, too, if we really... You know, then you're stuck. You got to buy all new sleeping bags, or you got to...
Well,
you know, you can't carry that...
stuff that we carry. I mean, you got all your stuff for your podcast and all the things that you need.
But even, like, the sleeping stuff and pillows, you can't take that on an airplane, it's too... So that's why we... You know, it's tough.
So I can't drag my sleeping bag and pretend it's my blankie?
Yeah, you can try.
Pillows.
Just don't sit next to me, because they'll kick you out. All right, let's see some other stories that we like. This is a fun story. This is out of Joshua Tree National Park, and it's, I think, one of those feel-good stories. So let me share it. A man who is a full-timer who travels the country chasing, like a lot of you do, 70 to 80 degree weather. You know, you go up when it gets real hot in the summer at an altitude, and then you come down, and you can go all around the country full-time doing that. Well, anyway, he was boondocking at Coyote Dry Lake Bed in Joshua Tree when rain started to really fall. And according to a story I saw last week, this guy had all these good weather apps. He had 2 weeks worth of food and water, yet he got caught by surprise. And that heavy rain that flooded his area there. But luckily for him, an off-road Jeep club found him. And when he didn't think he needed rescue, they left him their number. Well, a few days later, he did need rescue. He came back. The Jeep Club people came back with their Jeeps, and they hooked up several Jeeps to his RV and pulled his home and him to safety. The club refused payment, just saying, pay it forward. And it's just a really encouraging story about people helping each other, asking nothing in return. And there's some good weather lessons in there for us, too, about where you choose to camp. So I'll put links to those in the show notes, roadtrekking.com/215.
And one last story for you do-it-yourselfers out there. A man working on his RV's tire Thursday jacked up the vehicle and climbed underneath to place the jack stands. The stand fell off and the RV collapsed, trapping the 32-year-old Kingsley man beneath. A person inside heard the man's calls for help and called 911. Grand Traverse County Sheriff Lieutenant Brian Gittes and deputies responded within minutes to the Smith Road location in East Bay Township at about 10:30 a.m. and quickly dug a hole where they placed a jack to lift up the RV and rescue the man. The man did not suffer any broken bones, but as you would expect, there was a lot of bruising and soreness.
Ow.
The lesson? Be careful. And if you're crawling under a jacked up vehicle, make sure someone else is right by you watching.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by OvernightRVParking.com, the only place where you can access a searchable database of the most complete, accurate, and up-to-date listing of places where RVs are and are not allowed to park overnight. We love this website. You can avoid parking where it's illegal, so you avoid being awakened by police and evicted or ticketed or towed in the middle of the night. Park overnight in a free location instead of a commercial campground just once or twice, and you will save more than the cost of your annual subscription to OvernightRVParking.com. But we can even do you better. Normally, OvernightRVParking.com is $24.95 for a 12-month subscription. But as a listener to this podcast, you can get that extended to 15 months at the same rate. However, you got to go to a special address, and that is roadtrekking.com/overnight. roadtrekking.com/overnight, and you'll get 15 months at the cost of 12. And you'll know where you can overnight for free. I'm going to try and get Jim O'Brien from Overnight RV Parking on the podcast here in a week or so to see if we can get him as an interview, because more and more towns are becoming unfriendly to RVers and being very aggressive about trying to stop them if they're camping where the town doesn't want them, because they want to force you into those campgrounds that charge you $50 to $75, $100 a night, whatever. All right. overnight parking, overnight RV parking, and you want to go to roadtrekking.com/overnight to get that special discount.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
It's that time of year again. Many RVers are winterizing their RVs and putting them in storage for the winter. But besides antifreeze, which we will soon be talking about in our interview segment of the podcast, one other step that is very important before placing your vehicle in storage, and that is making sure your RV is mice-proof. We have heard so many sad stories of mice getting into an RV and literally destroying it between chewing up wires, burrowing inside the walls, and leaving their waste everywhere. Mice are incredibly destructive and pose not only a sanitary concern, but a safety issue. One thing you could do is try mice repellent products. A couple of years ago, we met someone who told us about a product called Fresh Cab Botanical Rodent Repellent. For uninfected areas, the directions say to place one pouch for every 125 square feet. So two or three pouches will do it for an RV. The scent lasts 90 days, so you may need to replace them come the end of February. For infected areas where mice are active, they suggest one pouch every 8 square feet and to replace the pouches every 30 days. The scent alone is the deterrent, and the product is one we have successfully used. You can find Fresh Cab Botanical Rodent Repellent everywhere, from Walmart to camping supply stores. I found it on Amazon with 4 packets selling for $14.99, 8 for $29.88. We'll put a link to them in the show notes for this episode at roadtrekking.com/215. Some readers have also suggested spraying the underbelly of the RV with a product called Rodent Defense. It is a spray that goes on the engine, wires, and anything exposed underneath your vehicle. The product is made of vinegar, water, and various essential oils like peppermint and white pepper that supposedly mice do not like. While I have not tried this, I'll pass this along in case it's of interest to anybody. I also found this product on Amazon, selling for about $20 for 32 ounces or $37 for a gallon. And I'll also put a link to it in the show notes. Also, some of our readers have suggested putting a box of laundry dryer sheets around your RV. Rodents supposedly don't like that smell. And if you suspect mice are getting in, be sure to check for open spaces underneath the chassis. It doesn't take much space for a mouse to squeeze in and do all sorts of harm. Try and plug them up if you can. I hope these suggestions are helpful. As I have said, I will leave links to the products I mentioned in the show notes post on our blog at roadtrekking.com/215. And be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it, then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want until you're satisfied. And then you just click a button and it comes right to my email inbox. I love hearing from you.
Jennifer's tip of the week brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes, now with free shipping and a special discount to listeners of the RV podcast. Jennifer and I picked up 2 Rad Power bike models this past year. We love them. They are so much fun. We have the city bike model. Now, mine is kind of the traditional guy's bike. It's looks like a beach cruiser, sort of, and you throw your leg over that center crossbar. Jennifer's is what we used to call a girl's bike, but now they're for everybody, and that's called the step-through model. In other words, you just kind of climb on, and there's no bar that you have to throw your legs over. Because Rad Power Bikes is a consumer direct brand, you get really high quality electric bikes, but you don't have to pay the huge markups caused by dealers and third-party retailers. In fact, they're often priced at less than half the cost of comparable bikes on the market. All their bike models have large batteries. They have 750 watts of power in the motor, which is the most powerful motor an e-bike can have while maintaining a street legal status. That means you don't have to have a special license. You can ride it anywhere. You can ride a bike. All their models can reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. You can ride pedal free. You can then use the throttle with 5 different levels of pedal assist, from a little to a lot. And of course, every model goes between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. Now, they'll ship it to you free. It's very easy to put them together. Doesn't take you much at all. Maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes tops. It's basically just taking them out of the box and bolting a couple of things on. And they'll ship it free to you. Very simple. Great support. If you get in a jam, just call their phone number. There'll be somebody right there to talk to you. You don't get a machine or any of that stuff. And if you use the promo code ROADTREKKING at checkout, ROADTREKKING, use that promo code, they will give you an additional $75 off. RadPowerBikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hi, Mike. So I'm sitting here just enjoying the Florida sunshine and dreaming about my RV that I hope to get in about a year and a half once I'm fully retired. And I'm just wondering if you can weigh in on a question. I was watching those videos on YouTube about the Watt fuel cell product that's just come out, and the connection and alliance between Hymer and the Watt people. I guess they have a prototype and they're probably already in production on setting these things up in at least one model of Hymer RV. And here's what I'm thinking, you know, about a year and a half down the road, I pretty much have decided I'm going to buy a brand new rig when the time comes and finance it over 20 years and drive it for that whole 20 years and pray that I make it that far as being able to enjoy it all that time. Just like your friend recently that you interviewed, who's in his 80s and still going strong. So I'm thinking long term, and I'm thinking any idea, any insights, any crystal ball thoughts as to about a year and a half from now, if I'm going to be looking at the option of getting a Hymer or a Road Trek that is equipped with a fuel cell instead of the underhood generator. Do you think? What's your thoughts on that? Just any comments about that as I look ahead and dream and plan and, you know, sit here and imagine. So just finished listening to episode 214. I was a little surprised that you guys did not mention anything about how you fared up in the panhandle after Hurricane Michael. I thought sure you'd do that, but maybe, you know, you didn't want to mention it one way or the other. So how did you guys fare up in the panhandle at your condo? That's my question for today. This is Paul in Southwest Florida.
Okay, Paul, thanks. Well, you know, we talk about that. I guess we talk, you know, we have social media because we're on Facebook all the time. And we shared with everybody that our condo was fine. Our condo is near Destin, Florida, and the Hurricane Michael really hit about 70 miles. The really bad stuff was about 70 miles to the east of us, so there was no damage or anything.
We are very grateful to report that no damage at all. The water didn't even come in that far. No storm surge. Everything was fine.
It was great.
We were very, very fortunate.
And I think we talked about that on our Facebook group and our Facebook page a lot. And we also talked about it on our Ask Us Anything programs on YouTube. So maybe we forgot to say it here on the podcast as well, for those of you who just listened to that. Now, as to that Watt system, W-A-T-T, I forget what it stands for, but it is indeed a kind of a hybrid fuel cell power generation system. Right now it's run on propane, and the Irwin Hymer Group indeed did recently demo it at the Elkhart RV Open House a few weeks ago, and also just at the just finished California RV Show. We saw it at both places. We did a video on it, and we talked with Jim Hamill on it. He's the president of Road Trek, and you can see that video. I'll put a link in the show notes, roadtrekking.com/215, if people are unfamiliar what it is. Now, you asked Paul if it will be ready in a year and a half, and yeah, it should be. They are, I know, testing it out now on a model or two, and it is being tested. And then, of course, I'm sure there'll be some tweaks that they need to do and mounting it. It's a fairly large model. I think they're trying to bring the size down a little bit. So it's not yet ready for production vehicles, although I don't think it's that far off. But, you know, a year and a half when Paul says he's going to buy, the way this industry changes so much, who knows what might come after what, right?
Yeah, it's amazing how everything changes in just a couple months.
I mean, it seems like it was just yesterday that we had the very first E-Trek, the all-electric, now not the electric engine, but everything was electric, no propane. And then next we had the lithium battery technology and all the solar panels. And look how that, everybody's now doing that. So there's a lot of development out there about making our RVs truly energy independent. This is one of them, this Watt system. It's pretty cool. But, you know, when you're ready to buy, if it's a year and a half, Paul, you'll probably have even other options to consider that we can't even envision yet, because the technology in the RV industry is really, really changing.
And half the fun is dreaming and planning and figuring out where you want to go. And it sounds like you're taking full advantage of that.
It is. Well, let us know, Paul, as you keep continuing to plan your adventure down there from Southwest Florida. And thanks for asking about how we did, how our condo fared during the hurricane. We were hoping to go see it in a week or two and just double check on everything, but we got to wait until we get our RV back. All right, another question.
Where do you get insurance for the Class B? Where could I look this up at? Thank you for your time. Have a wonderful day. Be safe on your journeys. Bill and Kathy Pruitt.
Well, thank you, Bill. And insurance is a question we get all the time. And the first place I would suggest you look is with your regular insurance policy provider, whether, you know, whoever you're with, whoever insures your automobile,
your
house. If you have a truck, your house. Many of them, most of them have an RV policy that they can write. So you might even get a discount because it's a different one. But all of the big RV or all the big insurance companies are very active in the RV industry for insurance. Geico is there. Progressive, State Farm, ARP, AARP has RV insurance. Of course, there's the Good Sam Club. But then there are a number of RV specific insurance companies that have them. Companies like Blue Sky, that's one of the biggest ones, and that's the one that we have had for some of our RV insurance. Now, you want to really be serious about taking out insurance. You know, this is your RV is what, probably the second most expensive thing after your house that you'll buy, and you want to have it insured. It's a lot different than just a car, because some of you are full timers. And if you are full-timers in your RV, you need a homeowner-type coverage, because that is your primary home. Most RVers, they only need something like vacation liability coverage that covers you for liability, you know, during a season of the year when you're out using it. But then when you're parked or not using your RV, it's covered in a different way. You know, you want to look at personal effects coverage, because you might have stuff that you store in your RV that's worth a lot of money. Most of them also offer emergency roadside assistance, and it's nice to have that from the same company, because then what I like about having it all in one is you have an agent that you can deal with, and it's hopefully a local agent. Now, some of the big national companies, you know, it's very impersonal, but if you have a local agent, that's great. And of course, you want personal injury protection, medical care costs to you. You want to look at what happens if something, you get in an accident and you have to stay in a hotel, or you have lodging expenses, meals, transportation home, all that sort of stuff. So there's a lot to consider. And I have a couple of links on what you need to know about RV insurance coverage that we found from the folks at Blue Sky. We'll put a link on that. And they even have a little RV insurance rates calculator, and you can use that. But start off, get a couple of prices from your own insurance agent. Try a couple of the big ones. Try some of the RV-specific ones. Just as a general note, because RVs are special vehicles, when you are shopping around, their policies are often referred to as specialty or specialized coverage. So those are the insurance industry buzzwords, specialty insurance or specialized coverage. And those policies are much different than they are for a car. So good luck to you. Hope you, you're able to find all the information you need.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. My name is Mike Rafaccio. I'm a member of your podcast, and I got a question for you. My wife and I would like to visit Europe, and if you can tell me, is it cheaper to go to Europe and rent an RV or ship our own RV, which is a 20-foot Sprinter, to Europe and use it over there? If you can give me the information yourself, or you can give me a link or source to get the information, would be great. Thanks again.
Okay. Well, the answer to that question depends on how long you plan to stay over there. If you're over there for a month, I don't think it's worth it to ship your vehicle over. Maybe even 2 months. Now, we do have a pretty good link for resources to you. Our own, one of our regular road trekking reporters on our road trekking RV lifestyle blog, Camp Skunk, spent much of 2017 in Europe. He and his wife Sharon and their cat shipped their Sprinter-based RV over to Europe, and they spent 6 months there. Now, 6 months is a long time, and so it was very well worth it for Camp Skunk to do that. So not knowing how long you want to stay over there, I have to just give you that caveat. It really depends on how long you're going to stay. There's a lot to it. You need to meet with an importer. You wouldn't believe the paperwork that you need to ship off. You got to have, I think you have to have visas and all the rest of this stuff. And you have to have information and paperwork for the RV. So what I'm going to do is, I'm on the show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/215. I'll put a link to a video that Camps, or a written report that Camp Skunk did on navigating the paperwork to take his RV to Europe, what he had to do there. I found a video that he did for us, not a video, I keep saying video. It's a story he did on the blog about putting his RV on the ship and what was involved in driving it, getting it to the ship, how long it takes, how he's got to make it in, you know, right for the European thing. He had to do a lot of technology updates on his RV. He had to change some of the connections and to meet some of the requirements that are different for RVs in Europe. He talks about all of that. And then, of course, if you just look at his archives on our Road Trekking RV Lifestyle blog, you'll see all the stories he wrote. He did a dozen stories for us while he and Sharon were in Europe, and you can read those. But the question is, how long are you going to stay, and how much time do you have to prepare? Because it is a big job to ship it over. It may be cheaper for you and less hassle in the long run to just rent one. I think the factor is time, and that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
It would be fun.
I mean, a lot of people are heading over to another big place for RVers is Australia and New Zealand, and there's a pretty robust rental business there. I've always wanted to do that as well. That takes me back to the idea. Let's go rent one and go to the Yellowstone next week before the snow. It's pretty snowy out there now, though. I don't know. We'll have to try it.
Bo would be so mad that we went off in the snow and left him here.
All right. The Questions of the Week segment on this podcast, sponsored by Steinbring Motor Coach, a third generation family business in Minnesota's beautiful Chain of Lakes region. They're a couple hours west of the Twin Cities, and the Steinbring Motor Coach operation up there in Garfield, Minnesota, is a must shop place. If you're considering an RV, whether it's a Class A, Class B, Class C, a toy hauler, diesel, gas, whatever it is you're looking for, you want to first check out the Steinbring Motor Coach website. And if you can get up there, and they have a beautiful, big, large indoor showroom, that's really nice to be indoors this time of year, you can really spend some time in all the vehicles as well. They are consistently named a Blue Ribbon dealer year after year, a top 50 dealer in the country almost every single year. They specialize in Newmar Class A motorhomes as well as Road Trek Class B motorhomes. And they've got all sorts of used coaches from popular brands like Winnebago, Itasca, Tiffin, Fleetwood, Holiday Rambler, Monaco, along with a wide selection of consignments as well. So whatever it is, before you make a purchase, get a price and check in the inventory at Steinbrings. These guys have been since 1917 in the transportation industry. It's their family name out front. They care. They treat you like family. And you really can't go wrong. Check in first with Steinbring Motor Coach. And when you do, be sure and tell them that you heard about them on the RV Podcast.
You're listening to the RV Podcast. You can find show notes, links to resources and websites Mike and his guests mention, and background material, videos and photos on the RVPodcast.com travel blog. And you can also send Mike a voice question to answer on the podcast. Just click the send voicemail button on RV Podcast.
All right, we're going to talk now about winterizing. And let me first tell you that you want to make sure you know where the show notes for the episode are. Because not only are we going to have lots of information for you about winterizing, we have a transcript of our interview, so you can listen to the interview, and then you can go back and read the word-for-word transcript. And then I have links on a whole bunch of winterizing tips and videos that that Jennifer and I have done on our RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. So that's all in the show notes. And again, you go to the show notes by going to roadtrekking.com/215. Now, we're going to tell you, I think, pretty much everything you need to know about the topic of winterizing. We're going to tell you about the easy way. And then, of course, there's always a hard way. And I have a link to a full, I think it's like an 18-minute long video on the very detailed way an RV dealership would winterize for you. And you want to look at that video. That it's very detailed. But we're going to talk in the interview about the easy way. Now, over the years, Jennifer and I have winterized our RVs several different ways. I started off by taking it to a dealer and having them go through the very detailed way that they do it. And, of course, it's great. But, you know, that costs $125, $150, whatever a dealer is going to charge for it. Now, it gives you peace of mind. You don't have to get dirty. It might be hard to get an appointment, but they'll do it for you. Then I tried another way in which it was kind of a hybrid, in which a dealer I knew gave me kind of like a bypass valve, and I was able to suck the antifreeze directly out of the jug into the water pump and then circulate it that way. I've got a video that shows you how to do that. It's pretty cool. Got to add a little part to the water pump, but very simple. But here's the easiest way that we're going to talk about now in an interview with our friend Jan Seiner. Jan is works for the Irwin-Heimer Group of North America in Kitchener, Ontario. And we talked to him. This is some time ago. We recorded this. But this is the way we now winterize our RVs. And it's a process that takes Jennifer and me, actually just takes me, maybe 10 to 15 minutes. Very simple to do. And it works very great, very well. And we do this a couple, three times a year. For example, if I had an RV out in the driveway right now where the temperature's going to drop into the 20s pretty much a couple times a week and then almost every night, then it's time to winterize. And I will winterize it. But, you know, we're going to Florida. We're going down where it's warm in just a few weeks. But I'd want to have it winterized if I'm leaving it here for 3 weeks. If I'm not going to get to Florida until, you know, early November, that's taking a big chance. So I'd winterize it. But as soon as I got to Florida, I'll de-winterize it. That's very simple, too. And then when we come back, because we'll come back for Christmas to be with family up here, we would winterize it again. And then we would go back down to Florida after our winter camp out in January, and I would de-winterize it then. And then I wouldn't winterize it again until we came back at in early April, because it still is cold in April. It's so simple. So listen up. Here's the interview that we did with Jan, and I think you will find that it is pretty simple, and it's something that I have a complete transcript of this interview that I will put on the show notes along with all those videos I talked about. So you have to go to the show notes to read them. But right now, I want you to listen to the interview. Well, if you have been looking at the weather forecast lately, you know that it is getting colder. In the upper Midwest, temperatures this week expected to be in the 30s pretty much every night. And that's a trend, unfortunately, that will follow throughout all of the Midwest and throughout much of the country in the weeks ahead. And for RVers, that means it's time to winterize, to get the water out of the plumbing system and make sure those pipes don't freeze and rupture. To help us figure out what to do, Jan Seiner joins us. Jan is a project engineer for Road Trek in Kitchener, Ontario, and he joins us from Kitchener right now. How you doing, Jan?
Oh, pretty good, Mike. Weather's actually pretty nice here.
Yeah, well, count your blessings. It's coming, as you know. So the question that we hear from a lot of RVers is, well, when do I have to winterize? I mean, how cold does it have to be before I have to be concerned about the pipes freezing?
So this is one of those questions. Depends on not just how cold it's going to be, but how long it's going to be cold and what you're doing with a coach. So if you've driven it all day and it's nice and warm and you're going to spend the night in it and you're going to keep the heat on and it's going to drop to just below freezing for a couple of hours just before dawn, you're okay. If you're going to leave it parked in your driveway for a week and you don't know how cold it's going to get, you probably need to winterize.
Is there a magic number? I've heard 28 degrees for 4 hours is enough to freeze the pipes. Do we really know?
That's about where I started to get nervous. If it drops below freezing in my driveway to 28 for half the night, yeah, I probably think real hard about winterizing.
Now, a lot of people put off the idea of winterizing because they think it's a very complicated system. And we should, by the way, point out that what we're talking about here are basic guides that are intended to assist you in knowing what you need to do to winterize your RV, but it's a basic guide, and because it's a basic guide, that means it would be impossible to cover every RV out there. We're talking primarily, I think, about Class B, road treks, and leisure travel vans, and pleasure way, those types of vehicles, because we're talking about the small motorhomes. But it's important that if you're going to do this, you read your owner's manuals for specific winterizing guidelines. So now that we got that out of the way, where would you have us start? How much antifreeze? We have to get antifreeze. Is there a certain kind we should get?
Yes. So the one thing you have to get is RV antifreeze. It is a food grade antifreeze. In other words, it's non-toxic. The antifreeze that normally goes in your car engine is very toxic, and you really don't want that anywhere near your RV water tank.
It's also very toxic to pets, too, that's automobile antifreeze.
Yeah, it's actually a double whammy because it's very sweet and it tastes good, but it's also very toxic. So keep that stuff away from your pets.
So non-toxic RV antifreeze, and you can get that at most RV stores and even Walmart, I know, sells a bunch of it. How much do you need? How much antifreeze should folks buy?
Typically for Class B, 2 to 3 gallons.
2 to 3 gallons. And then I always pick up an extra gallon or two because, like you, we camp in the wintertime. There's no reason to stay. I just have to use the antifreeze to flush the toilet. But so I always get a couple extra, but 2 to 3 to do the winterizing job. And walk us through what are some of the things we should have on our checklist. How do we do it?
So this is one of those things that I think in the mythology of RVing has become more complicated than it really is. Basically, you drain your fresh water tank, you dump your gray and black tanks, and then when everything's drained, you close the drain to your water tank and you put in a couple of gallons of the RV antifreeze. That's the beginning.
Now, let me stop that. You're talking about the fresh water tank, you put some water antifreeze in there?
Yes.
A lot of people say, oh, you don't have to do that. That, you know, it's really tough in the spring when you dewinterize to get that taste out of there. Obviously, you do that. So address that issue, if you will.
So the dewinterizing, yeah, the antifreeze is kind of sweet and sticky tasting. But really what I do in the winter, because I keep my RV winterized for 3 months. And so I figure that I really, really need to clean those tanks very well in the spring. And so by the time I'm done dewinterizing, which involves flushing the tanks two or three times. I've never had a problem with a taste.
So basically, two or three times, I've heard some people put a little vinegar in there, or that even helps it a little bit. So it's good to get all the flushed that many times anyway, because bacteria does build up and it'll start again even after a freeze. So, all right, got that taken care of. So how much do we put in our freshwater tanks?
A couple of gallons. You start off with 2 gallons.
Okay. Now what do we do? We got it in the freshwater tank, but there's a whole system underneath the vehicle.
Right. There's a whole system underneath the vehicle. Now, there's a thing here about if you have a hot water heater tank and you have one of those 6-gallon Suburban tanks, there's a winterizing procedure that you have to follow. Usually involves a bypass of the water heater and removing the anode. And that really you need to refer to your owner's manual.
The anode is that ugly little rod that connects all the impurities that's usually on the side of the vehicle, correct?
Right, right. It's a sacrificial anode that's supposed to corrode before the tank.
And all you have to do is look at your owner manual. It will tell you how to do that, whatever vehicle you have. Okay, so, and the bypassing of the water heater, that's basically just turning some knobs and some valves, in a little cabinet somewhere in the vehicle, right?
Right. You'll either have 2 or 3 valves, depending on which kind of kit you have, and you just turn them to the winter position.
Okay.
And so once you find them and you look at the pictures, it takes about 30 seconds to turn 3 valves.
So we got the hot water down. We got the fresh water clean. What about the water pump?
So now you've got your antifreeze in the tank. You've got your water heater bypassed. Now you can turn on your water pump and start opening all your faucets one at a time. So you open your kitchen, your galley cold water, and you let it run until you get the pink antifreeze out of it. You close that, you open the hot water in the galley, you run it until you get your pink antifreeze out of it. And you keep doing that with a shower and with your toilet and with your outside shower if you have one, or if you have a sink in the bathroom, you do that as well.
So run it until the pink stuff comes off and then shut it off?
Right.
And then what? Are we done?
You're pretty much done. Now, the only thing left is if you have a macerator. Oh, there's also, okay, there's one other step. If you have a city water valve switch that switches between city water and your tank, you want to, while the water pump is on, you want to go and turn that and let it run for maybe 30 seconds. And that'll flush the water in that line and replace it with antifreeze.
And that's not every model's like that. Some of them just draw when you open a switch, but gotcha
right
there. So we're pretty much done. What about the macerator? Many of the Class Bs have a macerator. What do they have to do with that?
So you've drained your black and gray tanks, right? So now what you have is the tanks are empty, but you still have a little bit of water in that macerator. And if it freezes, it'll damage the macerator. So what we need to do is we need to get enough antifreeze in one of our tanks, in one of the holding tanks, and run the macerator until we get the pink stuff out.
There you go. And you got pink stuff run through it all. And you're winterized. You're winterized. And I mentioned at the very top that I do winter camping. I know you do as well. It's actually one of the best times to go because you can usually have lots of room in the campgrounds if you can find one open. But there's no reason not to go out in the winter, too. Even when it's winterized, you just use the antifreeze to flush the toilet, correct?
Absolutely. That's what we do. We keep a gallon of antifreeze in the toilet, and you just flush the toilet with it. We keep just one of those 5-gallon water bladders in the galley sink for drinking water, and we're good to go.
You know, one thing, too, a lot of our RV friends from the Midwest, upper Midwest, they are snowbirds. They run down to Florida. They spend a lot of time in warm climates, and sometimes they come back, and it's still cold. So it's very simple to re-winterize, right? You just de-winterize down in the warm weather, and then before you come up, you can pick up the antifreeze and re-winterize before you get back in a cold climb.
Yeah, absolutely. Once you've figured it out, it's, 20 minutes and a cup of coffee, and you're done.
Well, there we go. Well, Jan, thank you for that advice.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
All right. We'll put a transcript of the entire interview with Jan on the show notes for this episode. And as I said, I have a series, I created a whole playlist of videos that we have done about different aspects of winterizing and getting your RV ready for winter. And you can get to that directly if you're not at your computer and can't call up the show notes. It's at roadtrekking.com/winter. eyes, winter eyes. And there's a link in the show notes. The show notes are roadtrekking.com/215. And again, a complete word-for-word transcript of everything Jan said, so you can follow along and print it out and take it out to your RV. Interview of the week brought to you by our friends at Sunshine State RVs in sunny Gainesville, Florida, where you will find the largest selection of used Class B motorhomes in all of North America. I was on the website last night, actually. I was thinking about renting one of his vehicles, see if I could do it. And looking at Nick's great selection of used Class Bs, he's got them from all of the major brands: Road Trek, Pleasure Way, Winnebago, Leisure Travel, Chinook, Coachman. He's got them all. He's got new Chinooks, new Coachman, and new Road Treks as well in stock at Sunshine State RVs. The thing that I like so much about Sunshine States is that he will deliver it to your driveway anywhere in North America. He will take your vehicle right there. He also has a great fly and drive program where once you've decided on it, he'll pay your airfare to fly down and take possession of it. Then you can go vacation in sunny Florida, get out of that winter. That's a good way to winterize, right? It's a really neat dealership that's based on friendship and integrity. From the sales process to the delivery process and the stuff that you don't know that they do in between. For example, their very thorough 172-point inspection, in which Matt and the service crew that Matt works with ensures that all of the mechanical and manual systems are in top condition. Every RV is road tested to make sure it runs and drives the way that it should. They go over the interior components just as entirely as the outside, and every component is turned on and tested to make sure that it does what it's supposed to do. All their used RVs thoroughly cleaned, thoroughly detailed inside and out. They even check the roof for cracks and replace any silicone caulking. SunshineStateRVs.com. Tell them you heard about them on the RV Podcast.
With technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
All right, with our Halloween week tech tip coming up next week, let's start talking about spooky stuff. Here is Andy Choi from Verizon Wireless.
Hi, Mike. It's that time again for our little ghouls and goblins to hit the neighborhood. Halloween can be all kinds of fun, from little tight costumes to school events and neighborhood parties. And when it comes to tech, there is no shortage of tricks and treats to make this spooky season a memorable one. Verizon's latest smartphones have high-resolution cameras that allow you to take professional quality photos from dusk till dawn. The Samsung Galaxy Note 9 allows you to be a photo pro. Adjust the aperture and focus so you can create these professional-style photographs. And the editing magic of that S Pen makes you the coolest ghoul on the block. Google Clips allows you to capture family Halloween scapes and lawn decorations while still being in the photos. Clips will automatically capture short motion photos of your family, friends, and costumed pets. You can post to social or print off the exact frame you want to use for later or to update the family photo walls. Turn your TVs into a digital picture frame with the Google Chromecast Ultra. In addition, invite others in on the fun. Create a shared Google Photos album and invite your friends to add their own pics for a shared album. Nice way to loop through and share great shots from those RV adventures. So, while the candy might be hit or miss, make sure those tech tricks and treats score big with your Halloween-loving friends and family. With this week's traveling technology tip, I'm Andy Choi with Verizon.
And, of course, the traveling technology segment on the podcast every week is brought to you by Verizon Wireless, which operates America's most reliable wireless network. Year after year, study after study, Verizon, and only Verizon, ranks highest in multiple tests that measure things like network quality, performance, and user satisfaction. Can your network say that? If you are stuck on the wrong network, head over to Verizon and get yourselves unstuck.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, we're heading out to Oklahoma, where the sky, I don't remember what the rest of the lyrics are, But anyway, Tom and Patty Burkett, our off-the-road correspondents, are out there in Oklahoma, and they got this off the beaten path report.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. Mangum, Oklahoma is a dusty town in the panhandle, best known for making bricks and named after a man who never visited it. They're still making bricks here in a large state-of-the-art factory about a mile from town. We stopped here to see one of the oldest light bulbs in the USA. You can hear that story in another episode. Driving around town, we noticed a corner lot with rows of head-high pink granite monuments guarded by four fierce-looking longhorn bulls. How could we resist? Parking in front of the Greer County Historical Museum, we walked among the pioneers of the county. Each stone carried the likeness of a founding father or mother and a paragraph describing his or her contribution to history.
We walked into the museum to use the bathroom and, as so often happens, left with a story. Virginia, who was in charge of the museum, had been born on a nearby ranch 8 decades ago. I have 11 brothers and sisters, she told us, and we were all born in the same house. 4 of us were born in Texas and the rest in Oklahoma. Her eyes twinkled, waiting for the inevitable question. I gave in. How could that be? I asked.
Well, I'll tell you, she said with evident glee. The Red River is the border between Texas and Oklahoma. Right here, there are 2 forks to the river. The northern boundary of the county is the North Fork, and the southern boundary of the county is the Prairie Dog Town Fork. When the United States agreed on a boundary with the Republic of Texas, it was the Red River. Later on, after Texas had become a state, oil was discovered here. There was an argument with Oklahoma over which fork was the official boundary. When the state line was drawn, it was drawn along the North Fork. They argued for 10 years, and in 1928, the Supreme Court changed the line to the Prairie Dog Town Fork. Texas got a little smaller, Oklahoma got a little bigger, and the rest of my brothers and sisters were born in a different state.
I looked up the story of the dispute and found that it's quite a bit more complicated than Virginia's telling, but what a story! It happens with surprising regularity. We walk through some small town door to use the bathroom, and the world looks different when we walk out. All it takes usually is the time to ask a question and listen to the answer. We're Patty and Tom Burkett, and we'll look for you out here somewhere, off the beaten path, maybe even in the mythical state of Texlahoma.
I will put a picture and some links to all that stuff they talked about in Mangum, Oklahoma, in Off the Beaten Path report for this episode. Off the Beaten Path brought to you by Harvest Hosts, a membership site that provides truly unique overnight stops at wineries and farms and attractions. This is a really great resource. If you've had it with having to spend $30 to $50 to overnight at a crowded campground, or if you're tired of being awakened by all the noise and lights at a Walmart, Harvest Hosts offers overnight stops in all sorts of awesome, out-of-the-way places. Wineries all across the country, farms of all types, from lavender farms to maple sugar farms to fruit orchards and vegetable fairs. You need to be self-contained, and you have to call ahead and arrive during business hours, and you have to be a member of Harvest Hosts. If you do that, your stay is absolutely free. That'd be polite. You know, it's kind of expected that you buy a bottle of wine or some fruit or whatever the store produces there, the farm produces. It costs $49 a year to belong to Harvest Host, but because as a listener of this RV podcast, we can offer you an awesome deal. Harvest Hosts will let you take 10% off that cost, but you have to go to this address, roadtrekking.com/harvesthosts. I'll put a link in the show notes for this episode, but it's roadtrekking.com/harvesthosts, and you will get a 10% off when you join Harvest Host, roadtrekking.com/harvesthost.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
Okay, I got 3 shows coming up. Don't have anything this weekend, but I got 3 of them, November 8th through the 11th. That's the next batch of RV shows. And the first one, November 8th through 11th, the Portland Metro Dealers RV Show at the Expo Center in Portland, Oregon. November 8th through the 11th, the Tampa Bay Fall RV Show is underway. That's at the Florida State Fairgrounds in Tampa, Florida. And also the 8th through the 11th, the West Palm Beach Fall RV Show is the South Florida Fairgrounds in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendlin. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Somewhere off the beaten path.
All right, that does it for this episode of the podcast. Boy, time flies when you're having fun. Remember, if you'd like to have your voice heard, be a part of the podcast, you can record a voicemail message by clicking the right-hand button on the roadtrekking.com RV lifestyle website. Also, please subscribe to this podcast. You can do it through your favorite app, iTunes, Stitcher, TunedIn. We're even on Spotify. New episodes of the podcast are released every Wednesday morning. We have not missed a week in 215 Wednesdays now. We invite you to join our mailing list. We send out a special newsletter to subscribers every Monday. Just go to roadtrekking.com/news. And don't forget our RV Lifestyle YouTube channel, loaded with helpful videos on the RV Lifestyle. It's rvlifestylechannel.com. You'll find us. Till next time, I'm Mike Wendlin. Along with my wife, Jennifer, and our dog, Bo, we say, happy trails, everyone.